So today we're doing a new series, and it's on marriage. You might think, well, I'm going to check out already because I'm not married, I'm a widow, or I'm divorced, or you don't even know the half of it, and you got a huge story, or I'm single. Here's what I would ask of you today. I just talked about doing what we could. The job isn't just on the people in three stools today. The job is actually going to be on all of us in the room. So your job today, the stories you're going to hear, which Mark and Linda, if you guys want to come on up, the stories they're going to tell. Today, specifically, Jesus wanted Mark and Linda talking to us. I don't know why, but I'm very convinced of that. So I think he has a message that's particular to today. So your job is to find that one thing for you, not the best thing they say, the one thing Jesus wants you to do something about. So, Mark and Linda, tell us a little bit about how your guys' story got started.
Well, Linda and I both grew up here in Independence, and we started worshiping here at Maywood really early, very, very young, and we were both baptized right up there, like little girls this morning, and we were married right here at this very spot, and we have experienced a lot of life here within this auditorium. So I was kind of a knucklehead growing up. I wasn't came to faith pretty early in life, realized that my life wasn't what God wanted to be. And I gave my life to Christ very early, and it's the best thing I've ever done. But even at that, coming to Christ early, I still had a lot of maturing to do. I was kind of a knucklehead early and did some things that in this auditorium I should have done. One time, I told this in the first service, on a Wednesday night when I was 12, I tried to long jump the baptistry from this side to this side. I didn't clear it. And I got wet. I got wet up to my waist in the water.
On the way home.
Yeah, my mom had consequences when I got home. So. And if you guys up in the balcony, the youth used to sit up there. And I got in trouble for throwing paper airplanes. Don't do that today. I kind of stuck growing up here. Went to Van Horn High School, both of us. And so Lynn and I kind of got to know each other early here in church.
We started dating when we were freshmen in high school. Brought me to church. They didn't come with me. And that was such a longing in my heart to have my parents be with me in worship. And the Lord didn't answer my prayer in that way, but I think that's one of the reasons Mark and I began dating at such a young age, and his family just kind of adopted me. And so it was just so helpful to see a healthy Christian marriage being lived out. And then Mark's parents had this wonderful group of friends that adopted us too. Just they have done life together for so many years, and just the Carols and many couples that are still here at Maywood, and just seeing them live life and having those role models in our life. And I just had some beautiful Christian women that poured into me, and I'm just so grateful for that.
Yeah, and I know Joe Beebe played a role for you, and we didn't talk about that in the first service, but yes. I didn't want to miss out on that.
Jo Beebe's back there, and she played a huge part in my life. I became a believer when I was in the fourth grade, and I still remember vividly her sharing about how to become a Christian, and how I realized then that, you know, I just needed the Lord to be the ruler of my life, and that even as a fourth grader, that I was selfish and had all these things wrong with me, and so that just began my journey. And then later on, when I was in college, I had the privilege of, first time I ever taught Sunday school was fourth grade class and with Mrs. Beebe. And if you guys had kids that got to sit under her teaching, you know how much she goes deep in the Word and memorizing the Word. And we memorized the Christmas story, and I can still say that. And so she just did a lot about teaching me to be in my Bible every day and memorize. scripture and just laid a real foundation in my life.
Awesome. So as you guys get out of high school and get married or college, what?
Yeah, 21. We got married when 21, but we went on to school, got our education.
Yeah, and what did you start doing at Maywood as about 18 or 19?
About 18 or 19, I started teaching in the middle school, taught Sunday school every week in the middle school. One thing I would urge you that if you're wondering how do I continue to grow in my faith, teaching children, teaching kids is a great discipline in terms of preparing each week and understanding the Bible in a very simple way that you need to tell the kids. And it's such a blessing that this church allowed us to teach at a young age and to how that changed us, you know.
I had a friend of mine earlier this week send me a text with this really random verse in Exodus about like redeeming a donkey like through the sacrificial system. Like, what does this mean? And then Mark and Linda were talking about how they learned a lot about the Bible by teaching kids here at Maywood. And I thought, like, what a wonderful way to really get the foundation is to get some of those kids' lessons by teaching them. And I know we've got lots of amazing children's workers in here right now. If you work with our kids right now, will you raise your hand? So thank you guys so much for doing that. And if you saw this, I mean, a lot of people are working with kids right now, but it'd be awesome to have a lot more hands go up too. So if you think, man, I want to know more about the Bible and I want to give back to Maywood, like, starting to teach our kids. We've got some awesome teachers you can jump in with. Mike Hempel was in first service, and he taught his first lesson to kids last week, and Donna helped him teach it. And you know, you don't have to be the superstar to be a kids leader. So we talked to Tony Spradlin right down there in the front of the room, or anybody about doing that. So, yeah. So you guys started at that age, then you went to college. What happened after that?
Well, we have a daughter. Her name is Brooke, and she's launched. She's out on her own, and she's a professor at the University of Mississippi. And Brother Bob Baptizer here down the street. But we began to do a few more things here at church, just more responsibilities. And over that next 10 years or so, about the age of 31, we got a young pastor, Bob, to come here to the church. And Bob invited us and three other couples to do a master life group, which is kind of a thing where you study God's word really intensely. And through that, we began to sense that God might be calling us to go overseas. And we had some good Sunday school teachers, and as a young married couple, people like Bob and Tracy Garrison were our Sunday school teachers, and we had just people like Bob and Tony, and you know, Bob and Teresa pouring into us, kind of modeling what a kind of healthy walk looked like. That's a huge thing about Maywood, that if you can watch somebody and you wonder, how do you do this thing or that thing? How do I handle my money? How do I handle whatever? There's plenty of folks around here doing it right, you know. And we had peers like Chuck and Tony Donaldson who were walking with us, doing life with us, that really helped us. And we began to sense that God might want us to go overseas, which was really off the radar for us. We never thought we'd want to leave Independence. We loved Independence. We both had good jobs. I was a psychologist, Linda was an accountant, and we weren't in ministry.
The first time it came on my radar is during this Master Life class, and the verse that we were studying was Luke 9:23. It says, anyone who wishes to follow me must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And, you know, I began to just search my heart. It just pierced my heart, because I thought there's nothing that I'm really denying, and I don't feel like I'm taking up my cross. And so just having this deep sense that God was wanting me to do more with my life, that I was very reluctant to surrender to that. And so I was just kept praying about it and struggling with it. And finally, one Sunday morning, I came down and talked to Bob. And I said to Bob, I just want to surrender and give the Lord all and do whatever he wants me to do. And I said, but I've been so afraid to do this because I think we're going to be missionaries. And it just popped out. And I didn't really know that. And so that kind of began the journey for me where he spelled it out just as I came
And so calling is a word that gets used in church a little bit. We don't really use it outside of church. But it's this idea that God has a particular plan, that particular point in your life He wants you to do something. And so you guys started to feel like maybe you're called to go be missionaries somewhere else, to go spread the gospel of Jesus somewhere. How did you figure that out for sure? I mean, you had that prayer experience with Bob, and what did you do?
Well, we used God's word. Verses like this that said, you need to deny more of yourself. You're not really denying yourself anything, and not really. And you can give more. And we started doing that little bit by little bit. And so He confirmed it in His word, which is always true and accurate and without error. And then He used His people. He used Bob and Tony. He used Chuck and Tony and Bob and Tony. People who were walking with us said, yeah, I can see you guys going overseas. I'm like, really? Because I don't really have that confidence. You know, I didn't do well in Spanish in high school and took 4 years of it, straight D's, you know. And so I knew I couldn't learn a language. And Japanese is a tough language. That's where we ended up going. We ended up going to Tokyo. But so He used our circumstances, His people, His word to just kind of move us gradually to that way.
And we just kept going through open doors, you know, we kept exploring missions, and then we just got these opportunities, and the Lord just kept opening doors along the way.
And for other than Mark and I, probably Linda just noticed this, but that was part of our notes that we forgot about that Linda just picked up. Linda's smart. So Linda's keeping us on page here today. So before we get across the Pacific and talk about what Japan was like, I do want to just, this is kind of midway point, I want to recapture some things for you guys. Because remember, you guys all have a job today. You're looking for, what does God want to say to me? And so some of you might be here today, and you heard what Linda shared about. When I was in fourth grade, Joe Beebe explained to me, how do I start this journey with Jesus? Maybe you need to go, I mean, Joe Beebe is here, you can talk to Linda or somebody, and say, how do I take that first step to really get going with Jesus? Or maybe you've been here at Maybe for a while, and you're thinking, okay, I've been here for a while, but I haven't given back like Mark and Linda started with you. Or maybe you say, my next step, I don't know everything, but my next step is actually to teach kids, or to teach the youth, or to invest in some way here. Or maybe you heard, it comes up a lot, it's real fast, but they talked about a lot of friends they had. They had mentors in their lives. They knew somebody at Maywood who was good with money, and they went and asked them money questions. They knew somebody at Maywood who was good with this or that, and they went and asked them. They had mentors, and then they had friends that they were doing trips with. And we don't have time to get into all that stuff, but they were going on trips and having people over for dinner and things like that. And I know right now you guys talked about first service. You guys set aside like a night of the week to invite people over to their house and make it intentional to build those friendships with people. So really good stuff we're seeing in you guys. And then when they started reading God's word, they were letting it hit their hearts. You know, they were here at church. They're raising a family. They're coming to church. They got a bunch of friends. Everybody likes them. They've got good careers. No one's poking them saying, hey, you need to do better. Except for the Holy Spirit. And when you see this verse, you think about to have that sort of heart to say, I'm not really denying myself much, Jesus. And if you came down to pray with Bob today, and you had Linda's heart and said, I really want to give everything to Jesus, what would be the thing that would slip out? But I'm scared Jesus is wanting me to. Maybe you need to face whatever that is. Because it opened up a whole new chapter for Mark and Linda. So one other thing I want to point out, Mark and Linda are not perfect. They're really big at sharing that. They've got issues. I'm sure Linda could tell you some of Mark's issues and stuff. You know, so
we don't have enough time for that.
Yeah, we don't have enough time for all those. So, but I do want to say, as you're hearing their story, one other thing I want to point out is because they were doing all those things, they were reading the Bible, they had strong Christian friends, they're involved here, they had a strong relationship with God and with each other. And as you hear this next stage of their journey, it sounds pretty crazy, like what they go and do. God never puts on us more than we can bear with his help. Sometimes it feels like it's more than we can bear. But there's not a lot of people that God calls to do what they're about to tell us to do. For some of us, we just hold on to trying to stay married. We just hold on to trying to be a decent parent. But if we would really invest and become, have a great marriage, and have a great family, then God could even ask us to do more things. If you're here right now and your marriage is struggling, then that is the place to put your priority at. Like, God wants me to work on this. But I also want to inspire you that if you work on it, then God can have even more things down the road. So, tell us, okay, you guys fly across the ocean, get to Tokyo, and it's just easy, right?
Yeah, I wish I could say that, but pretty soon after we sold our houses, sold our cars, designer jobs, and said difficult goodbyes here at church and with our family, because we were going out for 4 years that first time, didn't intend to come back home, and that was tough. And, we get there, and I wish it had been different, but it was really, really hard. Hardest thing I've ever done was learning Japanese, going to school 4 hours a day for 2 years, and we had a lot of homework. And we lived in a Japanese neighborhood, surrounded by Japanese. 99% of Japanese don't know the Lord, so virtually anybody we'd meet on the street needed a touch of Jesus. And so, a wonderful opportunity to share our faith, but we had like infant Japanese at first. And so we had to go to school, and school was difficult because Linda had a tough time initially. And you must share them.
Method of education is so different. They do it by shame, not by affirmation. And so I ended up being the slow person, the stupid person. My teacher would call me stupid. And so it was like every week it was like, when Linda catches up, then we'll move on. Or, did Linda really study this week? You know, I can't believe she doesn't study. And Japanese, you can study 4 hours and not be 4 hours smarter, or at least it didn't appear that way to her. So she just always picked on me as the, and I hated it. I just hated class, but I knew it was something I had to do, and I had to learn this language and talk to people.
And to share the gospel. You were motivated to learn Japanese because you wanted to share faith. It's not like learning Japanese to do business or, you know, so you can have a conversation. You want to be able to share our faith in another language, and Japanese is very difficult. I don't want to say it, but you know, every day we'd come to class, and I got in trouble in the class a few times after a while. I'm gonna share it. I got in trouble in class a couple of times myself. I was afraid I was gonna speak like a woman because we only had women teachers, and Japanese women kind of speak in high.
You are some real good mimic and stuff.
So
you want to speak in this high Japanese female voice.
So we come to class every day, it's very formal, and you come to the door of class and you say, Sensei, and you bow, and then you enter the classroom, and that's the formal way of beginning to study. And
that's just that teacher up here studying and wisdom, and thank you for teaching me today.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, no, please, you know. But it's a formal way to do it. So I used to watch Samurai Theater on Wednesday nights, and so I told my buddies in the back of class, I said, where I sat, I said, watch me introduce myself tomorrow.
I told my buddies in the back of class.
Yeah, I said, three guys sat in the back of class, and so I come to the door, I go, Sensei, are you with my boss? Can you give me because you're most, you're my boss? I thought she laughed. Such a loser, you know, and I'm getting held after, and
apologize in front of the whole school.
And I shamed the learning process and my teacher and the culture. And
Anyway,
early on, Linda had some struggle as well with just the population density. We used to ride these subways every day, and you'd go down about six escalators to get down to the bottom of the subway because we lived in downtown Tokyo.
About 2 million people would go through the station a day that we used, and so when we got on the train, there'd be a guy at the bar that would literally push us all in to get as many people in as possible. So you just squished up like sardines in there. Mark's taller, so he can get air.
I mean, close to first service. But it was very tense for Linda. Our first Valentine's Day, I bought her a snorkel as kind of a funny gift. It wasn't funny.
She got it. Why not take her to an island vacation in Okinawa or Hawaii?
I said, let's go to the subway. She started crying. It wasn't funny. Not funny at all. And so I was trying to be a sensitive husband, but it didn't work.
But then other times he was very sensitive. I mean, he realized how hard it was for me just to go to school every day. And so I mean, sometimes just before we head down those stairs, he just grab my hand and pray for me and pray for me before I went into class because I certainly didn't want to be there. I knew that's where God put us and we had to go through this to be able to minister. But I was so grateful for his sensitivity and his praying for me and his care of me.
And so y'all hear, as you have friends who are going through much more difficult things than this, your prayers enable them to do things that aren't of them. And the only way they'll explain it is, I don't know how I did that, but somehow I did that. You know, we got through that weekend, or I picked my kids up and it went okay, or, you know, I got to four meetings this week. Whatever the deal is, the people that you do life with here begin to pray for you in very informed ways, very deep ways, you know, through your sharing small group, and things begin to change in your life. Stuff's coming out of your mouth that's not you. You know, you're affirming your spouse in ways you never thought possible. Or you're saying things to your children that just aren't you. And that's God in you. That's the Holy Spirit in you.
Well, and we're going to come back and let you guys get some final thoughts for us. I want to point out a few things that they're saying as well, though, that it was really sweet when I first heard the subway story of Mark and Linda. He talks about being able to notice some days as they went down different escalators, he could tell that his heart rate was getting faster and faster at each one. And then he prayed for her. And I think about folks in the room, like with your spouse or with someone close to you, do you pay that much attention to them that you know when they're going through a hard time? And then when you see them going through something hard, do you stop them and say, I want to pray for this thing that they're going through? Because Mark and Linda talks about their experience totally transformed their prayer life together. And Mark talks about how Linda can pray for him like nobody can pray for him. That she knows him so much better, can pray to give him so much strength when she prays. And so when you're going through a hard thing that you feel called to, like they were, or maybe you're going through a hard thing that just got thrown at you as a curveball, to see there's an opportunity for you to grow with the person closest to you. So, lots of good stuff we can throw out. Lots of fun, too. As you get to hang around them, there's a lot of banter back and forth. And they can give each other a hard time. They sit so close to each other.
I first held Linda's hand in this auditorium. And it's such a blessing to be married. And so this class we're going to be teaching in September is 15 weeks. It's for couples. We're going to be talking about our life as a case study, not as an example. But we're going to talk about how to be married, and we're going to talk about a lot of broad range of topics. And we're really looking forward to it. It's such a blessing to be here. And one thing I kind of skipped over earlier was how leaders can impact your life. And so, I don't know how many people in this audience have had Bob or Jake or Wayne or somebody believe in you, pray over you, take a cup of coffee with you, but God speaks to them, to you. And if they affirm something in you, you need to take that very seriously. Write it down if they suggest something to you and do something with it. I'm firmly convinced we wouldn't have been overseas if we had had friends and peers and leaders who hadn't believed in us and fed us the way you'll have been fed by these guys. Thank you for that, Jake.
So here's my last thought for us before we close with our benediction. My last thought is what I prayed about at the beginning of the sermon, is that just before Jesus went to the cross, that lady poured perfume on him. It was the best thing she had, and she gave it to Jesus. And so people started to pick on her, and Jesus says she did what she could. And there's a lot of big problems in this world. There's a lot of big problems, maybe even in your own life. But Jesus is the Savior. We can't fix every big thing we see. Jesus will remember if you do what you can. If you give all that you can. And so think about all that they shared today. And maybe all that you can do is sit closer to your spouse. Try to be a little bit more just in the nonverbal like they are. Maybe all that you can do is say, I am going to talk to Tony about being a third grade Sunday school teacher or something. I don't know what it is that you can do, but I know Jesus watches you. And Jesus doesn't forget any time that you give over what you can to him. Okay? So I'm going to pray a blessing that you would see the thing that he wants you to hand over. Okay? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this whole room of folks today. And Jesus, I pray a special blessing on each person here today. That you would put a spotlight on their life. You would show them what's the one thing you want them to hand over, the one thing you want them to do today. Help them to rest everything else in your hands. You are our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.